Welcome to Believers Faith Connection broadcast this morning. I hope my sound is on and you can hear me well. As a matter of fact, I'll just check it here for a minute. Oh, yes. And I thank God for this morning where we are coming to your home. I want to start by prayer before we dunge into our message this morning that is going to be such a blessing in your life or in our lives as the Spirit of the Lord brings it to us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory for another wonderful Sunday morning. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you have done. And we thank you for what you continue to do in our lives. We do not take it for granted that we are alive today. Hallelujah. To experience another wonderful, wonderful day in our lives. I speak a blessing upon the families. Those who will watch now and those who will watch via archive, may your blessings abound towards them. And if there is anyone going or experiencing difficult times, Lord, I pray that you minister to them individually and let them experience your love. Let them know that you love them. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So welcome again to Believers Faith Connection broadcast. Glory to God as we tap into this wonderful message that we have today. That's going to be a blessing. There has been a lot of confusion in the body of Christ regarding the message on prosperity. And I am going to handle this from perspective of the scriptures and clarify a lot of things, so that we know what really, where we stand in this message. So I would like for you to invite your friends and also click like and make comments as we go along this and talk about this, because it is going to bless you. The message for today is accessing and maintaining the kingdom prosperity. And like I said, do not shut me off because I use the word prosperity, especially in America, because you are going to learn some things that probably you have never heard before. And I'm not saying because I am teaching it, but I'm saying this because you need to know it. One of the things, and how do I put it? That is bothering me a lot is that many people have even backed off now from bringing and teaching this message because of the way it has been abused. So many people don't even want to hear about it. But the Spirit of the Lord, as I was seeking the Lord through the week, I spent tremendous, almost over 30 hours of my hours, day and night, studying about this subject. The body of Christ today needs to understand the truth, and the only time they can understand it, they can only understand it from the word of God. So let's just dig in, hallelujah, as we talk about it. Number one, let me explain that we need to understand that there are three encounters that every person must have in order to obtain and enjoy the kingdom prosperity. Can I say that again? There are three encounters that every person must encounter to obtain and enjoy the true Christian kingdom prosperity. We're talking about the kingdom of God. Number one, you got to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. The Bible says there in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in him may not perish, but inherit everlasting life. So the experience of receiving the Lord Jesus is the number one. Because then you have come into the kingdom. The Bible says, for you have come into the kingdom of God and you become the light of the world. The Bible says you have been delivered out of darkness and you have been brought into his marvelous light. Ladies and gentlemen, in the kingdom of God, there is no hiding. You are the light now of the world. The number two, thing is you have to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. In order to experience, obtain, and experience the joy of your salvation in the kingdom and also the kingdom prosperity, you have to encounter. You have to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, this was so important that Jesus and the rest of his disciples, he told them, do not do anything but you tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And when he, Holy Spirit, will come, he is the one who is going to empower you to do what I have already taught you. And you remember what happened at the day of Pentecost? Pentecost, when they were that day came, they were all in one place, in one accord, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, also in John 16, verse 13, the Bible says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, notice he is called the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all the truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever, let me say that again, he shall hear the Father say. In other words, Holy Spirit does not speak anything outside what he hears the Father say. It is vitally important, ladies and gentlemen, because when you hear the doctrine, especially the doctrine of prosperity or anything to do with prosperity, gospel, you got to bring it through and let the Holy Ghost will alert you if something is right or something is not right. So we cannot throw everything about prosperity in the basket and say, well, we don't want to hear nothing about it because all they want to do is enrich somebody. That's why I'm very careful, even on this stadium, on this studio, trying to tell people about money, because it's been abused. But does not mean that God doesn't have anything to do with it. I'm going to show you some scriptures about it. Number three, that's very important. You got to have an encounter with the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says, study to show thyself what? Approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. So if you are dependent on people to tell you the truth of the word of God, you're going to miss it. But if you are depending on God and on the Holy Ghost, and you are depending on the word of God, if a prophetic word comes, you go and scan it through the word of God. The Holy Ghost is alerting you. The Holy Ghost is telling you, hey, be careful here. That is not me. And the Holy Ghost is, then you are going to prosper. Now, what does the Bible say about kingdom prosperity? Leave alone what man says. What man says to me does not really matter. But even what I say here, it doesn't matter. If I say something that contradicts the word of God, if I say something that is Holy Ghost is not bearing witness, you throw it out in the basket, throw it outside. Don't even listen to it. But what does the word of God, what does the Bible say about biblical prosperity? Having known that you have to have those three encounters first, then the next thing is, what does the Bible say about it? I want you to open your Bibles. Maybe if you're not there, it's right here on your screen, to the book of John 2. And the Bible says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest what? Prosper and be in what? Health. I recently taught about divine health. Even as your soul prospereth. Hallelujah. To the degree in which you feed your spirit, man. To the degree in which you prosper. Hallelujah. Gokaburi, Asura, Maranda, Revista. To the degree in which you prosper in your soul. To the degree in which you get hold of the word of God. And read this word of God. And stand in the word of God. It's to the degree you are going to prosper in the on the outside. God is more concerned about you prospering and knowing the truth. Knowing what thus says the Lord. And then you prosper on the outside. in the book of Genesis. Hallelujah. And I'll bring it to your screen right there again. The book of Genesis, the Bible says, "And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee." Glory to God. God will make you exceedingly great. Now, you know the principle here of the kingdom. When God blesses us, He does not just throw a little blessing to you. He blesses you real good. Hallelujah. The Bible says that He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, and above all that you can ask or think according. Hallelujah. Oh, Karabande Rebosh. I am blessing. Somebody is getting blessed right now in the name of Jesus. Receive your breakthrough and do not be offended by because people have taught this gospel the wrong way. You understand what the word of God says about it, then you can believe God for it. Bless the Lord. Because of what time, I'm going to just keep moving. Number three. And we are talking about what does the Bible say about kingdom prosperity. You look at 2 Corinthians 8, 9, verses 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through He was, though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become what? Rich." Ladies and gentlemen, I just wish I had time to explain what that word rich means. But Jesus and to go what through He went through, even though He was the Son of God, so that now you can obtain what the devil stole from the beginning. Because, ladies and gentlemen, when God created man, and He created man in His own image, and He brought them there at the garden, or He was right there in the garden. He walked in the cool of the day. He was with God. He encountered God. God was with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, carrying on, because I want to, there's so many things to talk about when we talk about this. I want us to look at something here about, which is so important. Now, this is now where I enter into the real teaching. Hallelujah. There are five levels of kingdom prosperity, ladies and gentlemen. Five levels of kingdom prosperity, and we are going to look at each one of them individually. Because if you do not understand this, you are going to really be a mess and start the comparison. People are comparing people because they are saying they are millionaires or they are whatever in the other kingdom. But they don't have spiritual. So number one, spiritual prosperity. Spiritual prosperity is where you receive Jesus Christ. John 3:16, I just started by saying that. When you have not received Jesus Christ, you can prosper. You can have all the money. You can have billions, and we have many. But if you have, and we are going to talk about it, you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, that is not going to help you. Number two, you got to prosper in your mental abilities. But just before I go to number two, I would like to say something here about spiritual prosperity. I like to say that spiritual prosperity is the highest level of prosperity. A lot of people think it's money. No, it's not money. Spiritual prosperity is an independent. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. Spiritual prosperity is an independent spiritual confidence where we have the assurance to be relieved from obstacles. Obstacles will come. Obstacles such as grief, such as loss, such as fears. We have an advantage because we are born again and we can go to God and say, "Lord, I thank you. Help me through this grieving. Help me through this loss. Help me through this." Why? Because you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we say spiritual prosperity is the highest level of prosperity, ladies and gentlemen. And let me say this. It is only God who can deliver men from these issues and enable him or her to live a spiritually prosperous life. Now, on that note, I must also say this on spiritual prosperity. I don't know whether we're gonna really even get to finish this because it's too much. Glory to God forever. There are three eminent spiritual needs of mankind. Three. This is a teaching so deep, you gonna have to listen to it again, again, and again. There are three eminent spiritual needs of in a mankind. Number one, every man needs safety. There is a need for security. That's why people even have security cameras. That's why people have all these things, rich or even Christians. They have all, because what? In the mankind, there is a need for what? There is a need for safety. Number two, there is a need for significance, to feel big, to feel self-worth. Hallelujah. That's another need. And the reason why you got to understand this is because everyone wants to feel worth. We want to have a significant impact in our lives. And even after we die, we want to leave something where people can say, that guy did something. Number three, and we are talking right around spiritual prosperity. There is a need for sufficiency. This is a feeling of competence. This is a feeling of adequacy. Humble supply. Everybody want to feel like they are well supplied. Glory to God in this life. This need is so big that is causing so many people even to do things crooked way to get this. And Satan has deceived many to believe that they can only get their needs met by their own intelligence, by their family inheritance or receiving an inheritance, or even by winning a lottery. But somehow Jesus spoke about this, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have time to open this, but if you look at Luke chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus spoke about this need of mankind in this verse. And this is what he said. You are those who justify yourself in the sight of men, but God knows your heart, for which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. Jesus Christ alone is able to satisfy all these needs, ladies and gentlemen. As a matter of fact, it says there in Ephesians 3:20, I'm drawing so many scriptures because we believe in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly and above that all we can ask or think according to the power that is working inside of you. Glory to God. So as we make ourselves available to God, ladies and gentlemen, he will satisfy our human cravings and supplies our inner personal needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Glory to God. So having said that, now I'm going to come back here. There is another type of prosperity we call mental prosperity. Remember, I said these are the five levels of kingdom prosperity. Mental prosperity, you must be renewed in your mind in order to prosper in this area. And you can read further in Ephesians, hallelujah, glory to God, the book of Ephesians. But I want to show you something about mental prosperity, and it's right there on your screen. See, ladies and gentlemen, and I put it there on your screen about this type. But when it comes to mental prosperity, you need to outsource your belief system and allow the word of God to transform the way you think. In this area, and I must say this again, you can give somebody $1 million, but if they are not educated in their mind, even people who win lotteries, you know this. Hallelujah. Let me come back there for a minute. Glory to God. There's so much to say here. If you give somebody $1 million, they are not educated in their mind, that money is going to go very quickly and they are not going to help themselves. As a matter of fact, their mentor is going to be saying, I want to go back to what I am. I want to use it all. There is no budgeting. There is no, I mean, they are confused. That's why to educate and to have the mind renewed is so important. And the Word of God talks about having your mind renewed by the Word of God. Your mind has to be transformed, hallelujah, to cope with the blessings of the Lord. There are many people who get money and tomorrow is done, is gone completely. Why? Because their mind has not been renewed. They don't even know the Holy Ghost to help them follow through and show them what to do with the money that they get. So if you do not educate your soul in this area, you have deficit financially. We're going to look at how to educate your soul. But bankruptcy of mental transformation is detrimental to the prosperity of any person, including born-again Christians. If you get born again and you think because now you are born again, you're going to advance and you're going to do very well. If you don't continue to renew your mind with the Word of God, you're still going to have a lot of deficit. That's why many people, even when God blesses them and they stop reading the Word, they cannot do anything with the money. They squander it and it's all gone within a day. The Bible says very clearly there in Joshua 1:8, that is right there on your screen, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate it upon it day and night, but thou shalt must observe, and thou shalt observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way. Now, the key word there is thy way. God is not going to be the one to make your way prosperous, bless the Lord, and he can. But because you have pondered and murmured on the Word of God, this Word of God, oh, you become afraid of this Word of God. This, and you meditate, and you read, and you meditate upon. This is what's going to make you prosperous, ladies and gentlemen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 23 is a long scripture. As a matter of fact, I'll just let you go and read that because I want to go back to reading, to giving you a few more scriptures on this, in this matter. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2:15. The Bible says, stand to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the Word of God. If you have to transform, we are talking about mental prosperity. If you have to transform your mind and stop thinking small. See, ladies and gentlemen, I come from a place when I was born again. I did not know much. Even though I was a school teacher, I did not know much about the things of the kingdom. Yeah, I was a baby. Like, that's why Apostle Paul said, when I am a baby, when you are a baby, you behave like a baby. But when you grow up, you start behaving mature. That's why people who are bashing prosperity message and talking and get angry about it, they are not educated well about it. And if you're not educated well about it, even when God blesses you, you cannot handle it. Mental prosperity must start with mental transformation. Can I say that again? Mental prosperity, ladies and gentlemen, must start with mental transformation. And I say that, I'm going to say it again, that bankruptcy of mental transformation. I've seen people even come from another country, even to this country. I'm not saying this is the best country. But because their mind has not been renewed, they go crazy with what they see here. I almost went crazy myself because this is a little bit too much. But when you are sharp here in your mind, not sharp of the world, not going to universities, not going to Harvard at all, but the Word of God. This Word of God can change anybody. It can change you from a village. It can change you in a city. It can change you in any nation. first or third class, third world countries, whatever they call it, it doesn't matter. You get hold of the word of God. You get transformed and renewed in your mind. Akasambre, I'm going to stand up here. Well, praise the Lord. When you get renewed with the word of God, you can move mountains. Mental transpority. In fact, you can be born again from a rich family or wealthy family and acquire great wealth. Even get big inheritance from your parents. But if you lack the knowledge of God's word, which transforms your mind, you are going to have problems. Because the knowledge of God's word is not just the wisdom that will help you in it, but there is what we call sustaining the prosperity that God gives you. It's called sustaining the kingdom wealth. If you're not transformed in your mind, you're going to have an issue sustaining the kingdom wealth. Viva can bring wealth to you, but it is the wisdom of God that delivers the transformation ability to maintain that wealth. Glory to God, ladies and gentlemen. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 through 9. What does the Bible say? Proverbs, and I don't know, I didn't get this on your screen. The Bible says in Proverbs, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exhort her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. When thou dost embrace her, she'll give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall be, or shall he deliver thee. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this as I talk about mental transformation, mental prosperity. It includes the liberation knowledge. So many people are quick to feed themselves with information knowledge. Listen, I went to university. I got my doctorate. Yes, we got to fill ourselves with all that stuff. But let me tell you, there is no university. There is nothing. We're going to have a president and founder of life of university joining us in our international conference next month. But I'm telling you, he also tell you that the word of God is the primary thing. As a matter of fact, that's why I love this university, because they emphasize on the word of God. The word of God is what's going to transform you. You are going to get liberation knowledge by the help of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Liberation knowledge will help your mental abilities build your own. Because an intelligent mind, listen to this, an intelligent mind is so important in our 21st century. Things are changing. Now, let me say very quickly here. There are things that we must purpose to do in order to enjoy the kingdom wealth and abundance. Number one, you must focus on doing good everywhere you go. The Bible says Jesus went around doing good and healing all those who are oppressed of the enemy. Jesus never waited for anyone to say thank you. You know, I used to say, well, man, I'm doing all this good. There ain't nobody saying thank you. No, if you wait for people to say thank you, you'll be frustrated because people don't even know what the vocabulary thank you mean. They don't know how to appreciate it. But Jesus went doing good, whether people appreciated it or not. He just kept on doing good. That was the secret of his fame. He woke up every morning with the determination to go about doing good. Listen, stop listening to ingrates. Stop listening to critics. Stop listening to the devil and focus on the kingdom. I was a victim many years ago of destruction for long before I caught this revelation. And it's a shame to say this, but I wasted so much time on those who despised and discredited my works and intentions. And I'm out here to help a minister of the gospel. Your people who are not appreciative. Your people who are discrediting you. You know, I came here and everybody even assumed like they don't even know what I'm saying. Even to today, there are people who say, I can't understand him. And they made up their mind, they are not going to listen. But let me tell you something. We are all created different. Yes, I have a Kenyan accent. That's wrong. That's okay. I will never get rid of it. I love my country. Glory to God. But I am not going to listen to critics. I'm not going to listen to naysayers, those who don't understand what I'm doing. I am going to focus on the kingdom and keep doing good. My motto now is keep doing good intentionally and consistently. And I'm going to tell you the same. Do not let one good wear out before you do another one. The Bible says, do not be weary of well-doing. For in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. Number two, things you must purpose to practice. Make every effort to share the blessing with others as the Lord blesses and leads you. Ladies and gentlemen, when God blesses you, practice to share the blessing with others. Do not give others leftover either. Oh, I don't use this. So, you know, we got, especially Christians, and I'm sorry to say I'm one of them. Now that they have used and exhausted something, and now here. And then when somebody even don't say thank you are offended. No, just listen. Go to the store and do something and get the best and bless somebody with. When you do that, you're operating in the kingdom of God. You know, in our ministry, we give food. We have given, as a matter of fact, over, I keep saying 10 million, but now my pantry staff was telling me it's literally over 12 million pounds of food in Tambale Bay region. But I tell them, we want the spirit of excellence. It's not about just getting a box. That food must not be expired. That food must be good, and it must be what you can eat is what you are blessing others with. Otherwise, you are not going to prosper that way. All right? So as you learn the lifestyle of sharing God's blessing with others, God will keep increasing you, ladies and gentlemen. Number three, this is big. Stop criticizing wealth and wealthy people. Yet you are believing God for money and some money yourself, and you are criticizing everybody who got some money. Oh, how did you get it? You know, I had somebody criticize prosperity gospel, and so I wanted to do an investigation. They don't want, they're always not bashing the people who are blessed. So I wanted to do an investigation. When I found out they are in the biggest homes, they have the biggest stuff, the biggest car, they have everything, the bigger, the bigger, the bigger. But yet they want everybody else and bash prosperity. That is criticism. That is not fair. That is not fair. You do not seem good in anything you criticize. To criticize means to find fault with, to judge harshly and unfavorably. Yes, the prosperity gospel has been done and people have preached wrong, but it does not mean by the standards of the kingdom. It's the wrong thing. God created wealth. As a matter of fact, he says, he owns a car on 1,000 hills. Let me tell you, shock somebody. When you go to heaven, you know the streets are made of gold? But it's the way you prosper and the way you look at things that makes things bad. Listen, I am so humbled. The more God blesses me, and God has been good. God has blessed me. I say that with no apologies. I'm not arrogant here. But the more humbled I get, the more less I feel like I know. I want to dig a deeper. I want to know him more. I want to humble myself more. I want to know him more. Oh, you should see me sometimes when I'm in business, when I'm doing work. I kneel down, I forget about everything I'm doing, and I say, Lord, I thank you. For one, you are the one who has blessed me, and I appreciate it. And we need to do that. God made Solomon rich. Job righteousness made him the richest. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all wealthy, and God says, I am their God. Listen, poverty is not of God, and also not for God's people. And if you are criticizing, then don't look for money, don't go to work, don't have any business, and don't even pray for fright for anything. Just stay home and die. Stop criticizing. Go and tell people there is a way to get wealth. Remember, I talked about spiritual prosperity, mental prosperity, and I hope we get time to talk about the other three, because there are five levels of prosperity. Number three on this, talking about mental, ask God for what you need. Matthew 7:7. God, who owns the heaven and earth, is willing to give you, ladies and gentlemen, the desires of your heart. And your heavenly Father is rich and influential, and you can ask him whatever you desire according to the scripture, and he'll give it to you. Listen, many ministers have been called to preach different things. There are people evangelists, they focus on souls, others focus on whatever, end time, whatever, others focus on whatever, but that's why we have the fivefold ministries. They are preachers, they are teachers. The pastors, the apostles, everyone, you focus on your own lane. And don't criticize the other, because we all need one another. That when you see the globe behind me, that's not a decoration. This is my vision for the nations. I'm not saying I'm the best preacher in the world. Oh my God, I'm listening to one of them now that I can hardly turn off from Africa. And minister so with so much liberation of the kingdom of God. But I want to see ministers of the gospel. As you do what God has called you to do, you rejoice when others are doing what God has called them to do. And together, we are going to have a great time in heaven. Glory to God. Stop believing yourself. Stop belaboring yourself over money. Tell God exactly what you need, and you'll be amazed at the mighty head of provision. Everything I've got, and ladies and gentlemen, I went to the Lord and asked. Yes, some things I asked and I forgot I asked. And now I am amazed. Listen to me. I forgot I asked some of those things, but now I am amazed that they are coming to me. Some of them, I would say it on this platform, but I just finished celebrating my daughter's first year birthday. The daughter from the kingdom. And I am so blessed to have that little girl. Blessings of the Lord. You may have asked 20 years, 30 years ago. But God never forgets what you ask him for. Be encouraged. Amen. I say be encouraged. The other type of prosperity is called emotional prosperity. Emotional prosperity. Glory to God. Now, this is big, and a lot of people wonder. But ladies and gentlemen, emotional prosperity is the ability to harness, to control, and to have authority over negative feelings. Emotions are inner feelings that are caused by pain, by anger, or lack, financial pressure. A lot of people have financial pressure, which can eventually, if not dealt with, can affect your destiny. And so it is vitally important, ladies and gentlemen, to deal with this. Emotional prosperity. Look at Galatians, the book of Galatians, 5:16. That we have authority over our emotions. Colossians 1:27 says, the anointing is in your spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, negative emotions will promote unbelief. And unbelief stops faith from being activated. Example, when you have anxiety over your finances or your health, it will stop your faith from receiving God's blessings in your life, and you do not want one. According to that John 2, your prosperity is contingent to your soul aligning up with your spirit. Reba Krasi, so much to share here. It's so rich and so deep. Father, I thank you. Come on, pray right now. Zabrak Riba Kushka Mabrev Rita Stabayata. Thank you, Lord. I ask you to heal those emotions. Like Aurora Casta, up and down, up and down. Let me say this. When you are in the kingdom of God, you've got to focus on matters of the kingdom. Because if you don't, you are going to even start remembering the past. And the devil is going to bring to you all the things that never happened. All the things that people did wrong to you. All the things that happened. Listen, forget those things that are behind. Apostle Paul said, and look towards the mark of your higher calling. Go forward. What does it mean to prosper in your emotions? Very quickly, what does it mean to prosper in your emotions? See, you may have renewed your mind to God's word, but if your emotions are not controlled by your recreated spirit, your ability to believe and activate your faith will be hindered or stopped. Ephesians 2:8 declares that you are saved through God's grace by your faith. Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is in you. The reason why I'm saying when you are, right now there are some people with emotions, they are dealing with emotions. Right now there are so much emotions, it's not even funny. Focus on the kingdom, who you are in Christ Jesus, what God, Jesus has wrought for you. See, the natural man, ladies and gentlemen, and this is sad, and I'm going to just come here and say this regarding this. The natural man thinks that emotions are a byproduct of current circumstances. But if the circumstance is negative or circumstance is positive, you are going to respond either way. If the circumstances you are facing are negative, you're going to respond negatively. Positive, negative emotions. If the circumstances are positive, you're going to have positive emotions. What is leading you? Is it emotions or faith? See, you cannot believe God and have a troubled heart, which is influenced by negative emotions. If you believe in the love of God, ladies and gentlemen, let me say this again. If you believe in the love of God, fear or negative emotion will have no place in your life. Because 1 John 4:18 declares, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear has torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. You can have faith to believe. I'm teaching now. You can have faith to believe God as the savior of your spirit. But negative emotions will stop you from believing God as the savior of your physical life. Bible says there in Romans, ladies and gentlemen, 8:6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is the life and peace. To be spiritually minded means you have chosen to immerse your soul with the anointing of Christ, which is your spirit, by meditating and declaring God's word. Hallelujah. Well, right now, we're going to go back. We have a few minutes, and we're going to talk about the other level of prosperity, which many people thought I'm going to start here, but I was not going to start here. I'm going to come to this one now. It's called financial prosperity. Remember, I talk about spiritual prosperity, mental prosperity, emotional prosperity, and then financial prosperity. Why does God want you to have money? Hallelujah. For three fundamental reasons. Number one, to fund the kingdom work, going into the whole world. Glory to God. Hey, glory to God forever. To fund the kingdom work is measured to go into the whole world and preach the gospel. Takes money. When I go to Africa and I live here, you know, the airline, the tickets alone and everything else, by the time I get back, thousands of dollars gone. It takes money. You cannot leave town. Even those who criticize this, and they are going all over preaching. You tell me, are they going by water? Okay. If you want to go from here to Tampa or wherever you are going and you have a car, you're going to put water. Let the water get you there. The water is not going to, it needs gas, and gas prices are high now. You better believe God. You better believe God and stop criticizing this. Number two, you need money to provide for your household. God has called us to work, to provide for our families, and to live a comfortable life. Number three, you need money to subdue the earth, to have dominion on the earth. We should be controlling, the body of Christ should be controlling most of the resources. For example, if you don't like the immorality posted on the billboard on your way traveling somewhere, believe God, you're going to put a big billboard and you have money. They cost about $40,000 or whatever. But if the heathen or people who don't know God can do it, why can't the believers do it? And say on the billboard, Jesus says, welcome to the kingdom of God. Woo! Hallelujah. Karabakanda. People, you know why I get so bold about that? I don't even know whether I will stand here. It's because there's been so much criticism. Oh, yeah, he goes again talking about money. Listen, you are eating, you are drinking, you are driving, you are whatever. You need the money. We need to align our thinking about wealth with God's word. And when we do that, we can effectively operate within his system. Ladies and gentlemen, God has created a wealth-generating system that cannot fail. I wish I had time to talk deeper about this matter. But there is so much about money. Now, all throughout my teaching, you have not heard me talk about Malachi and all those things. And they are in the scripture and it's true. But you have to interpret that under the context. The problem today is many people are taking one scripture and taking it out of context and beating people with it. We have churches taking 10, 20 offerings. That's not God. Jesus never went to any place and even said people, I said, before even you get here now, hey, ushers, where are you? Bring the offering. Can you see the multitude that followed Jesus? The buckets of money, they are being thrown out there. Preach the kingdom of God. So while, yes, we are talking about financial prosperity, but there are excesses in the body of Christ, and we need to be aware of that. Listen, God knows you need electric bill paid in that church. He knows you need your lease paid. Yeah, we pay thousands too. But you know what? If he's not going to give that money to you, he's going to call somebody to give it to you. If people cannot give it there, he's going to make sure that is out. If you are there by the will of God, he'll take care of you. You don't have to twist people and don't leave your wallet, don't leave out of this church with a wallet, with anything. Come on now, don't. Well, let me not go there because I want to finish up this. And the last one. This is so important. The last prosperity I want to talk about is relational prosperity. Relational prosperity. Can I say this to you, ladies and gentlemen? God's doorway to financial breakthrough is through relationships. Whether you are heathen or not, we need to be aware that nearly everything that comes into our lives, good or bad, comes through the vehicle of relationships. When God wants to bring blessings or increase or instruction or encouragement to you, he uses relationship to do so. I heard a man of God say this, and also I found out in the scripture, because I have to, when I listen to people preach, I always like to know the scripture that goes by it. But I want you to go and look at Luke chapter 2, verse 52. We don't have time to go there, but I heard this man say, all blessings come from God through man to man. This is God's main door to our blessings. You must learn to treat all men with respect, saved and unsaved, because you do not know who is your destiny helper. This is where, ladies and gentlemen, most people miss it. We are in a generation where we judge people by their outside appearance. And just before I go further into that, when I said Luke 2:52, in my spirit, I felt to kind of read this, bring people to attention what it says. The Bible says, and Jesus increased in what? Wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. I want you to understand, Jesus increased in stature, in wisdom and in favor with both what? God and men. Why does Jesus need men? Because when you are in the earth, you're going to have men. God created people. You need to go listen to my message. Why people are so important. According to this word, there are three qualities God wants your relationship to exhibit. Number one, wisdom. Number two, stature. Growing in stature means developing physically and developing a reputation as well. And number three, favor. I'm going to probably preach a message on the favor of God that's going to just astonish many people. If you use your faith to cultivate these qualities, you will accumulate great favor in your relationship, causing a wide open door of blessings. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been in this country, United States, for over 30 years. Every single person I have met is valuable and important to me. I don't care whether they have money. I don't care whether you don't have money. Money is not the subject matter. But when God revealed to me and gave me this revelation, I'm going to come here and say this because it's important. When God gave me this revelation, I realized that people are so important in the kingdom that even when I hear a cry of a baby, I'm always like, what, anything wrong? I want to be defendant, not only to Christians, but even people who are not born again. By the way, if you keep criticizing people because they are not born again and yet you want them in the kingdom, how do you expect them to come to the kingdom? They are looking at you and you are the light of the world. We need to love people. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say this? When God wants to bless you financially, you move as someone in someone's heart to be an instrument of that blessing. I have seen him. I have done businesses all over here in the state of Florida. And I do a good job, and I've seen people who are not even born again tip me over, sometimes $400. It's just you've done such a good job. I bless you. I just want to bless you. People are so important. Don't be always negative. Oh, so and so did. Oh, this and this. Oh, this happened. Can you stop it? Look at the good side. I had Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin gone home to be with the Lord. And he said something that is so funny and it stuck in me. And he said, if you come across anybody, and even if their hair looks bad, or they are the ugliest people in the world. No, God didn't create anybody ugly, okay? Find something good about them. Maybe it's their fingernail. Oh, you got pretty fingernails. And stop looking at everything else that is negative. Encourage somebody. Because God made people. When God wants to encourage you, most likely, do you know what he does? You can read the scripture and be encouraged. But let me tell you, God will send a brother or sister and put a hand on your shoulders and say, it's going to be okay. If you're in hospital right now, somebody tapping on your shoulder, it's going to be okay. That's God sending a sister or brother when you are grieving, when you are going through hard times. And because of time, we have just three minutes. Let me say this. There are four main principles that govern kingdom prosperity. And I'm just going to mention, because of time, I'm just going to mention them very quickly. Three main principles that govern kingdom prosperity. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Just give me a minute. Number one, love God with all your heart. The key to having God's abundant life and experiencing his love, peace, and joy is to keeping his commandments. We don't have time for this to go here on this scripture, but the Bible says in John 14:15-17, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even as the Spirit of truth. God said to Abraham, walk habitually before me. That means with integrity, knowing that you always are in my presence, and be blameless and complete. That is in obedience to me. That is in Genesis chapter 17, verses 1. Notice God instructed Abraham to be habitual in walking with him and living with him. You got to love God. So many scriptures, we can go on and on. Principle number two, love God's people wholeheartedly. Like I said earlier, we must understand that all blessings come from God through man to man. Notice what the Bible says in Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be what? Given to you. Back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall what? God cause men. God will use men to bring your blessing. So don't bash men. Don't bash your boss. Some people going bashing their boss and they're expecting the increase. How is the boss that you are boss bashing and you are talking against him all the day? How is he going to bring the blessings? No, there's no way. There's no way. It's not going to happen. Principle number three, understand that you are blessed for kingdom assignment. The reason why God blesses you is so that you can be a blessing. Genesis chapter 12 verse 2 says, and I'll make thee a great nation, And I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. The reason why you are blessed is so you can be a blessing. Job 36:11 says, if they obey and save and serve thee, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. And finally, principle number four, and our time is gone. Whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. Work as unto the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the fundamental principles of marketplace Christianity is working as unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23-24 says, and whatever you do, notice he says, whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance. This principle is the most powerful principle of all principles. And there is so much to talk about. But our time is gone. Hallelujah, and I hope you have enjoyed this broadcast. We don't like to close our broadcast without giving you people opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But just before I do, let me say this to you. With a lot of humility, I talk today about kingdom prosperity. I did not just talk about financial prosperity, but kingdom, five levels of kingdom prosperity. Spiritual, you're going to prosper spiritually, prosper mentally, prosper emotionally, prosper financially, prosper in your relationship dimensions. And it is vitally important once you understand this, ladies and gentlemen, that now you are positioning yourself for an advancement inside God's kingdom. I have a lot to talk to you about God's kingdom and how it operates. But anyway, if you do not know the Lord Jesus, would you pray this prayer, meaning it from your heart? Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you came and you died. And you are buried, but on the third day you rose from the dead. I believe you are the Son of God. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to wash me with your precious blood. Thank you, Lord, for receiving me the way I am. Thank you for writing my name now in the book of life. And from today on, I'll live for you the rest of my life. Thank you for it. For we thank you and give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Now you pray that prayer, go tell somebody. Come on, go to church today and tell somebody you are born again. You are born again believer. And God bless you. And we love you. And until next Sunday, unless God speaks otherwise, we'll see you then. And bye-bye.